Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to church this morning. My name is Lara Treader, and I'm a member of the youth group. This morning's worship service will be provided by the youth group. You are invited to stay following this worship service for fellowship, conversation, and refreshments in our fellowship hall, the Kate Worker Room, just through these doors behind me. If you are a newcomer here this morning, we extend you to a special welcome and hope that if this is your first time to visit, you'll consider entering your name on one of the visitor cards that can be found in the back of your hymnal and placing the card in the offering plate or handing it to an usher. If you'll do that, we'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about all the programs and activities going on here at church. If you would like to learn more about the church and about Unitarian Universalism, please visit the information displays in our fellowship hall where there are pamphlets, newsletters, and other visitors' information that you're certainly welcome to take home with you. And now I invite you to turn to your neighbors and greet them, especially the ones you don't know yet. Thank you. Good. I draw your attention to the announcements in your order of service. We will hope you'll keep these things in mind as you plan your upcoming week.
Welcome to this special place. I'm Stephen Mead, Director of Religious Education. Sunday, May 20th is a really busy day for the RE program. We're going to be baking dog biscuits for the Hope Rescue Center, but we're also counting on all of you to collect towels and blankets and bring in pet toys and treats, and we'll collect those anytime between now and the 20th, and we will donate those to the Hope Animal Rescue Center. We will also be preparing first aid kits for our fourth Saturday lunch, and the fifth and sixth graders will be doing that. So we're counting on donations of standard first aid items that you would have in your home medicine chests. And lastly, we'll be doing kid kits for the few of our fourth Saturday luncheon guests who do have young children. So we're asking for gently used puzzles, games, books, and so forth. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Eric Johnson. As you may have guessed correctly from my Morris Mann outfit, today is Maypole Sunday. So the kids are going to be dancing the Maypole today. Now, last year, I was nearly crucified upon the Maypole because the adults were like, why do the adults get to do Maypole? We do listen, and we do change, and we do grow, so we will have adult Maypole after the service, okay? Now, I am going to need some help because what Stephen just pointed out a couple minutes ago was I took the ribbons. I had about 20 or 30 ribbons for the adults, and I balled them up. I put them at the top of the maypole, and I bound them up. And the maypole is about 15 feet tall, and I didn't realize that now they're at the top of the maypole. So I am going to need a couple minutes to reset and need some help with that. So if anybody wants to help me get the adult ribbons down, because I didn't think about that. So anyway, adult maypole after service.
Hi, my name is Molly Hebert, and I have an announcement and a joy. My announcement is that I am going to Guatemala the first week of August on a medical dental mission. Last year we saw about 850 patients, and hopefully we'll see more this year. And so we are collecting for the patients toothpaste, toothbrushes, and soap. So if anybody would care to donate that, it is greatly appreciated in Guatemala since they have no access to these hygiene products. Or if you would prefer to just give me some money, I will actually pick them up at the Dollar Tree store. So if anybody would wish to contribute to a good cause, see me, please. And our joy is that my husband Paul and I will not be here in church next week because our oldest daughter Karen will be graduating from Columbia with her PhD.
I invite you to move to the microphone and share briefly any joints, milestones, or concerns you may bring to church with you this morning.
I'm Kathy Tade, we're the Tades, and we would like to wish a happy birthday to our Austrian daughter, who's our exchange student, Lara Treader. She's 16 today. And we have a pretty birthday cake to share after this service, so we hope that you'll partake in cake festivities. Thank you. Happy birthday, Lara.
Thank you. I'm good.
And we have one additional joy, which will be on display for you throughout the rest of the service.
Thanks.
Okay, so since we just found out it was Lara's birthday, we decided to sing her happy birthday. Aww. You guys just beat us to the punch, okay? So, you ready? 1, 2, 3.
Happy birthday to you.
Thanks a lot, that was really cute. Okay. The prelude begins our worship service as Alex Heft lights our cellos.
Thank you.
Rivers are roads which move and which carry us whither we desire to go. From Blaise Pascal. Let us worship together. Please stand up. Our first hymn is number 1023 in the Teal Hymnal Building Bridges. Join in responsive reading number 551 found in the back of your gray hymnal. It is entitled Earth Teach Me and read by Aaron Acharya.
Earth, teach me stillness, as the grasses are stilled with light. Earth, teach me caring, as the parents who secure their young.
Earth, teach me courage, as the tree which stands all alone.
Earth, teach me limitation, as the ant which crawls on the ground.
Earth, teach me freedom, as the eagle which soars in the sky.
Earth, teach me resignation, as the leaves which die in the fall. Earth, teach me to forget myself as melted snow forgets its life.
Earth, teach me to remember happiness as dry fields weep with the rain.
Seated. We have been greatly blessed. Let us now give generously so that others might be blessed by the work of the church. The morning's offering will now be given and received.
Thank you. Here's your...
Oh, thank you.
Hello, you look really pretty in your dress. Are you guys looking forward to this?
I'm looking forward to it. I'm really excited.
I'm sorry if I mess up, okay? I'll try my very best.
Oh, it's a pretty bracelet.
Okay. Here. Oh, are all the kids here? Okay. Here we have the story of Momotaro, which means little peachling. A long, long time ago, there lived an old man and an old woman. One day, the old man went to the mountains to cut grass, and the old woman went to the river to wash clothes. While she was washing, a great thing came tumbling and splashing down the stream. When the old woman saw it, she was very glad and pulled it to her with the piece of bamboo that was laying nearby. When she took it up and looked at it, she saw that it was a very large peach. She then quickly finished her washing and returned home to give it to her husband to eat.
When she cut the peach in two, out came a child from the large pit. Seeing this, the old couple rejoiced. They had always wanted a child. And they named it Momotaro, or Little Peachling, because he came out of a peach. As both the old people took good care of him, he grew and became strong and courageous. So the old couple had their expectations raised and bestowed still more care on his education.
Momotaro found that he was better than everybody in strength and was determined to cross over to the island of the devils to take their riches and come back. He at once consulted with the old man and old woman about the matter, and they gave him dumplings for his journey. He put them in his pouch, and he set off on his travels.
Then, first a dog came to the side of the way and said, "Momotaro, what have you there hanging at your belt?" He replied, "I have some of the very best Japanese millet dumplings. Give me one, and I will go with you," said the dog. So Momotaro took a dumpling out of his pouch and gave it to the dog. Then a monkey came and got one the same way. A pheasant also came flying and said, "Give me a dumpling too, and I will go along with you." So all three went along with him. In no time at all, they arrived at the island of the giant ogre demon devils, and at once broke through the front gate, Momotaro first, then his three followers. Here they met a great multitude of the devil's retainers. Those are kind of like servants, and but they're like people that they employ to fight for them, who showed up for the fight, but they pressed still inwards and at last encountered the chief of the devils called Ankadohi. Then came the tug of war. Ankadohi hit at Momotaro with an iron club, but Momotaro was ready for him and dodged him easily. At last they grappled with each other, and without difficulty, Momotaro just crushed down Ankadohi and tied him with a rope so tightly that he could not even move. All of this was done in a fair fight.
After this, Ankadohi, the chief of devils, said he would surrender all his riches. Momotaro said, laughing, "Out with your riches then." Having collected and ranged in order a great pile of treasures, he took them home, rejoicing, and marched bravely back, that with the help of his three companions, to whom he thanked very greatly, and because they had helped a lot.
Great was the joy of the old man and the old woman when Momotaro came back. He feasted everybody bountifully, told many stories of his adventures, displayed his riches, gave some to the villagers, from whom many of them had been stolen years before when the devils had come and raided and took everything, and at last became a village leader, very influential, rich, and honorable, and a man who was generally very congratulated and well-liked. The end.
We can say that the moral of the story is that great things that are unexpected but very much enjoyed can come by the oddest ways possible. So enjoy life and wait for those things to come. Now the children, you guys all get to go and decorate the maypole. So.
All right, make sure we do two things though. Have fun and learn something.
Thank you.
Let us join in the spirit of prayer and meditation. God of many names, we ask that you bestow tranquility upon us as we meditate or pray, each in our own way, into the silence. Amen. And now we have a reading by Roman Acharya entitled, I've Known Rivers.
I know rivers. I know rivers ancient as the world and older than the flow of human blood in human veins. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. My hut was built near the Congo, and it lulled me to sleep. I looked upon the Nile and rise the pyramids above it. I heard the singing of the Mississippi when Abe Lincoln went down to New Orleans, and I've seen the muddy bosom turn all golden in the sunset. I've known rivers, ancient, dusky rivers. My soul has grown deep like the rivers.
Our next hymn is number 100, found in the gray hymnal, and it is entitled, I've Got Peace Like a River.
I've got peace like a river.
The time has come for me to begin making big decisions, to begin finding a path to take, and to begin taking complete control of my life. For the past 16 years, many things have been decided for me. Where to live, who to live with, where to go to school, when to go to school, what to study, and so on. I've been present, and I've been giving some input on many of these decisions, but I've never been alone in making them. I've relied on many others to help me navigate the ship that is my life along the rivers that are the years of my existence. Approaching my final year of high school, I've begun the process of charting my course. I've researched majors, visited schools, and given a lot of thought to what I want to do with the rest of my life. I thought that once I really started looking at my options, the best choice would just stand out, that I would discover some perfect calling, that I would become remarkably passionate about something, but none of these things have happened yet. I have so many interests that I would love to pursue, and I don't want to choose just one, but I know I must focus the majority of my attention on one path. After all, I only have one boat, and I can't sail in two directions at the same time. I know I'm not the only one who has been in this position or is currently in this position. Life is full of conflicts and dilemmas that constantly appear and reappear, and once we get past one, we face another. And sometimes we face multiple at the same time. As long as we're sailing, we're making decisions. And as long as we're making decisions, we are sailing. And that is what is important. Sailing. Not so much choosing where to sail, but choosing to sail. Choosing to take control of our ships and to push them forward in whichever directions we eventually decide to travel. If we don't actively sail our ships, we end up drifting wherever the river takes us. And when we do that, the likelihood of reaching our desired destinations greatly decreases. If we just let our lives float on with the tides of time, what will we have accomplished by the ends of our journeys? Where would we be? Would we be in places that are fulfilling or useful or beautiful or satisfying? Or would we be stuck on fallen trees or amidst swirling rapids or headed toward waterfalls? The best way to be certain of what we'll accomplish and where we'll end up is to take charge of our own ships and paddle ourselves there. We mustn't be passive. Making decisions can be difficult, but it is necessary if we want to have control over our lives. Letting ourselves drift through time will not get us where we want to go, and neither will letting others navigate for us. Along our trips down the rivers of time and existence, we meet others. Some share similar aspirations and destinations. Perhaps we're tired of being so alone on this journey, and we'd like to sail beside someone for a while. Listen to the stories about where they've been and where they want to go and how they plan to get there. Learn from their experiences and talk about our own. Sharing parts of our journeys with others can be very beneficial, but it can also be detrimental. Taking advice from those we meet is safe as long as we remain in control of our ships, as long as we continue to make our own decisions. No matter how experienced or intelligent or appealing the other sailors are, we mustn't let them sail our ships and we mustn't board theirs. Once we board other people's ships, it's hard to hold on to our own and eventually they drift away. Our goals and our abilities to reach our destinations drift away. Losing our ships is losing control of our lives, so we shouldn't disembark. We should keep sailing our own ships, whether alone or alongside others. And sometimes there are things in our lives that make it difficult to sail. Burdens we carry, grudges we hold, and internal obstacles or conflicts can all add extra weight to our ships and make it more difficult to push ourselves forward. We can't let these things consume us. We just have to pick up the weight and toss it out of our ships. We have to let go of the unnecessary burdens and grudges if we want to sail on quickly and more easily. These are the rules I uphold as I chart my course. And I hope all of you do the same. Make your own decisions, stay in control of your life, and remove all of the needless things that slow your journey or prevent you from reaching your destination. Keep your ship, sail your ship, be the only one to sail your ship, and throw that weight you carry overboard. Our next hymn is number 1064 in the Teal Hymnal, entitled Blue Boat Home.
Below me, I feel no motion.
And now it is time to build and sail our own ships. And take your order of service, and Guy will lead you in a folding of it to make a boat.
Hello, everybody.
I'm sorry, Lily.
It's okay.
So today we're going to make a replica of the boat that Curious George used to make with the newspapers that he never delivered. So anyway, we're lucky because the order of service is already folded in half, so that skips the first step. So the next step is that we're going to hold the order of service so that it opens towards the bottom, so the flaps are facing the bottom. All right. Once we have our papers positioned like this, we're going to take one corner and fold it along the other corner to create a center crease. All right, once we have the center crease, go ahead and unfold that. And now we're going to make a pyramid shape almost by taking each corner and folding it into the center crease. It almost looks like a hat already. All right. Now we have these flaps on the bottom. There's two flaps, one on each side. And we're gonna fold each flap up along the triangle we made. So again, it should look like a hat, you know, like a yarmulke. Yeah. Oh, and if you're having any trouble, you can ask the youth group for help, because they know how to make these boats. Once we have our hat shape, go ahead, this part may be a little tricky. We're gonna take a hole of the center of each side like this, and open it up all the way until it makes this square shape. You may notice that you have flaps sticking out like this. You can just go ahead, lift one up, and then fold the other one inside of that. And that way you have a nice flat square. Now once we have this square, there's two sides to each square, right? So the next thing we're gonna do is we're gonna take the bottom of each square and fold it almost all the way to the top, but just enough to leave a border around the triangle we're making. Like so. Only take one side of the paper, don't take the entire section. Good. All right. Once we have that done, you can go ahead and flip it over and do the same thing on the other side. You know, make sure the edges on the bottom are very even and parallel to each other. It may start to look like a samurai hat or something, even a smaller yarmulke. The next step is similar to a previous step we did. We're going to take the centers again of the triangle samurai hat shape we made and open them all the way up until we create this like upside down diamond of sorts. You'll notice that there's like two triangle shapes on each side. Again, you just take the centers and open them up. All right, now this is the last step. All you're gonna do is take each triangle on the top of your diamond and just go ahead and open them up and we have our boat. You can go ahead and, like, you know, open it up a bit and flatten it out. I love all the boats I'm seeing. Okay. Well, now I'm going to invite Kira up to the microphone to share a poem she wrote about rivers.
So this poem is called What River? Yeah, the poem's title is What River? What river is this? Little river, private river, hidden in the trees, from the cars and the people and the world. Quiet place, gentle place, a place for exploring under bridges, building ferry houses, skipping rocks, and wading. Whose river is this? My river, river known by few, in the trees beyond the well, flowing from the spring to the gulf. What river is this? Big river, famous river, in the open for all to see. Cars drive over it, people walk beside it, the sky sees it. New place, open place. A place for hiking past, watching for eagles, taking pictures, and driving by. Whose river is this? Not my river, no, never only mine. Flows slowly through the towns and country, flowing from the spring to the gulf.
As you leave today, I encourage you to take complete control of your ship and push it forward through the river. Thank you for attending. And as you leave, take your boat and put it in this lovely body of water in the corner right here, this nice pool. So.